Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news. It's Friday. We're playing tomorrow. It's the weekend. The football starts here and we've got some very big comments coming in from our manager, Ruben Amorim, this morning around Mainoo primarily. That's where I want to start talking about, really, him saying that he should be playing for Manchester United, but there's a reason I'm not picking him. I mean, do we buy into that? We can talk about that as well.
I need to get you out.
Technology ain't my thing at the moment. Also, he's spoken about the future of Casemiro and about the future of Harry Maguire and how, you know, he'd be very open to potentially keeping them for another year. Also spoke about Sesko and his struggles, a bit about Bruno Fernandes as well, a bit about Cunha and Mbeumo. So a lot of things for Amorim this morning to get into. And what better place to start off than effectively, let me just go to United Stand Twitter, actually, because this is the best place for me to read the direct quote. So here we go. So basically, what I had to say about Mainoo is that I see Mainoo training today and he deserves to play. But then I have to take one guy out that's playing really well. We should have played yesterday in the Carabao, because I need to see Cobby playing. I need to see Joshua Zirkzee playing. All these guys deserve to be playing. But in the end, with one game, you need to make choices. So we have both sides, but we are taking advantage of the good side, which is not playing in midweek. And effectively, he basically said that, look, Mainoo, I've seen him train today. He's trained really well. He deserves to play. But, you know, I don't have space in the team. Bruno and Casemiro are playing well, so I can't pick him. So ultimately, I think that the talking point there is he wrong? Is he right? I think that, look, if I'm being completely honest in that situation, if I'm Mainoo and I'm hearing my manager say that, I mean, potentially you could take the positives from it and say, well, look, I'm training really hard and he won't give me minutes. But the flip side of that coin would be, I thought in the second half against Nottingham Forest last weekend, Bruno and Casemiro get on their feet. Well, you didn't bring me on then, did you? There has been games this season where Casemiro and Bruno have had bad games. You didn't pick me in the next game then, did you? I mean, the reality is it doesn't actually matter. I'm speaking as if I'm Mainoo here. It doesn't matter if you're saying I'm training well and I deserve to play. Because if that's the case, let me go on loan, because you're not going to use me, mate. Like, you can't publicly say, oh, I'm training well and I deserve to play, because I can publicly say to you, which is not public, I could say to you, well, what about this game where Bruno played shit? What about Brentford where Bruno played shit? You didn't pick me the next game. You know, what about Fulham where Bruno was shit? You didn't pick me the next game. You know, what about second half against Forest where Bruno was shit? You didn't bring me on. So it's all right saying, oh, I deserve to play more. I mean, you're basically saying I should be playing in the Carabao Cup. With all due respect, I don't think I should be playing in the Carabao Cup. I think I should be playing in the Premier League. So you're basically saying publicly that I deserve to play, and then you're not playing me, and then you're saying, if we'd had a Carabao Cup game, I would have been playing. Well, that's not what I want. I don't want to be playing Carabao Cup football. I want to play Premier League football. So, look, I think my take on it is, and from a manager point of view, like that's the Mainoo side. It's important to give the manager side as well. From a manager point of view, like, it's the perfect thing to say. You know, you're happy with Bruno and Casemiro. You've got Ugarte and Mainoo on the bench. You say they're training well, and it's just unfortunate there's not enough games, but I've got to focus on the positives. What do you want him to say? He ain't training well, he ain't good enough for my team, and that's why I'm not picking him and I don't trust him. I mean, so there is an element I suppose, PR, etc. there. But the reality is, my personal feeling, having you given me what Mainoo and Amorim's feeling might be, is that I just don't buy it. I don't buy that he's training well. I do buy the fact that he's training well, but I don't buy the fact that, you know, there isn't space in the team. I don't buy into the fact that, you know, I mean, look, the way Amorim puts it is that, look, it's a negative for the people who aren't getting game time, but I don't have space for them. It's a positive for me because we're only playing one game a week. He was asked a question about potentially rotating Bruno, and he said, I can't remember what he said. He said words to the effects that Bruno is a really important player for us. We're only playing one game a week and he's playing well, so we don't need to change it. if in the future we have more games, then, you know, we might need to rotate it. But at the moment, we don't need to rotate it. Maybe next year if we're in other cups or we're back in Europe. But at the moment, I don't need to rotate it because there's only one game a week. So look, I think it's I think it is a big message to Mainoo, and I think it is a big message to everybody else that he has his favourites and he isn't going to change that. I don't mind that, by the way. You know, for me, when we did the preview last night, what did I say? I said in the preview that, you know, I never even touched on the midfield. I never mentioned Ugarte. I never mentioned Mainoo because I know his midfield is Casemiro and Bruno, and that's the midfield he's very happy with. And as a manager, you know, that's we want to know what his best team is, and it is Bruno and Casemiro. So call it for what it is. It's not even close. If it was close and he really was feeling bad about not picking Ugarte or picking Mainoo, then they would be coming on more often. Maybe they'd even be starting more often. But I don't buy into the fact that, you know, these players are training really well and they deserve to start, but I'm not going to. I think he has his preferences and that's absolutely fine. The final thing I would say about it is that when he says that these people deserve to play, but I can't find a space for them, as I said, there are multiple games where people have played badly this season. And let's just go back to last weekend. Dalot has been rubbish for 3 weeks and still starts in that game. Now, you're telling me that Mazraoui couldn't have played left wing back or Dorgu couldn't have played left wing back. So I don't get the sense with Amrim that he picks a team based on who's training well. I think he picks a team on who his best 11 is. That's fine. That's not a criticism, by the way. Sir Alex Ferguson used to do this. Many managers have done this. I don't think Amrim looks at it in the week and goes, you've trained well, you're going into my team. I think he looks at it and goes, you're my best team. How do we recover for the weekend? I don't think he gives a shit if Casemiro trains badly or trains well. I think he's in the team tomorrow. Same with Dalot. If Dalot has a bad training session, I don't think he goes, you're out of the team, Mazraoui, you're in. I think he's establishing his best 11. And I said that ahead of the Forest game last week. I think there's one or two positions in that team that are up for grabs. One of them is Sesko's. One of them has to be Dalot's. Apart from that, I think his best team is pretty much set in stone. But look, tell me what your thoughts are. I don't know. What do you do with that message that Amrim has sent to Mainoo? He deserves to play. He's training really, really well, but we've only got one game a week and there's no space in the team for him because Casemiro and Bruno are playing well. Is that a good message? Is it a fair message? Is it a right message? I personally think, as the manager, you've got every right to say that, and I don't have a problem with it at all. I just think you're answering your own question. If he deserves to play and you don't play him, you've got to let him go in January because the minutes you're giving him is shocking. You're damaging his career. And I said that last night. Let me just grab some of your comments before we move on to something else as well, because quite a lot to get through this morning. For better or worse, selling Bruno would be transformative, says Zero Connection. Realistically, the midfield won't change if Casemiro and Bruno are still at the club. Rory C says, no reason to rotate when ninth. He's not happy with that. And Simply Red says, Casemiro hasn't had a bad game. Mainoo should come on for Bruno. I mean, that's just Simply Red. That's just simply not true, is it? Just simply not true. I don't even need to give you my opinion. Let's just go back through all the match ratings that are voted for by thousands and thousands of you from all around the world who don't speak to each other. There's been numerous games this season where Casemiro has been below a six. So he's definitely not had a good game. Every game he's played this season, has he? He hasn't. What was the game where he got booked early and had to get subbed off? Was that... Well, he got sent off against Chelsea, for fuck's sake. I mean, come on. Oh, that was a great game. Thanks for that. You know, very, very comfortable game where we could have boosted our goal difference, ended up squeaky bum time. So, look, Casemiro and Bruno are his starting midfield. We can't argue with that. And they've done pretty well over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But let's not pretend that there hasn't been opportunities where they haven't played that well. Because there has. About Casemiro, this is what he had to say. I read this in an article this morning. Casemiro, what's his long-term future at Manchester United? These are the words of Ruben Amorim. He said, we will see. I really do count on him, Casemiro and Harry Maguire. I'm very, very happy with both of the players. With regards to the summer and staying beyond that, let's wait and see. But, you know, I'm very happy with them. So, look, I remember being sent a very, very good sort of, it wasn't an article, it was a Portuguese journalist about a year ago who literally emailed us with a big, massive list of what to expect from Ruben Amorim. And one of the things that always jumps out to me was the, sorry, that's a little bit higher there. One of the things that always jumps out to me was the whole, just be prepared for the fact that there might be some senior players that you don't think should be at the club. He will keep them around for a long time. And are we starting to see that now? You know, I think that it may not go hand in hand with the way we want the club to be run. I literally was saying this yesterday. I think Manchester United are absolutely terrible, terrible at moving on players at the right time. And we mentioned Pep Guardiola and his ability to move on people like Gundogan and De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling. You know, he just moves them out at the time he feels it's time to go, even though they'll go elsewhere and still deliver. He feels that, you know, for whatever reason, at the very peak of what he wants to achieve, they're not quite there anymore. And it might be age, mentality, whatever. We saw what he did with Cancelo. He's ruthless. Man United are not ruthless with this. We're really poor, actually, at figuring out when the time is to move a player on. But look, that stands out to me from a year ago from that Portuguese journalist that Amorim will shock you with, you know, two or three players that you think are past it, but he'll keep them around because he thinks they're good to have around. I don't know whether that's going to work out well, by the way, just to throw my two pennies worth here. I think when you're playing for sport, when you're managing Sporting, keeping, you know, look at bloody Pepe. Pepe was at, was it Porto Pepe was at? I mean, he was playing till he was 50. He would not get away with that in the Premier League. So I don't know that what you did at Sporting, keeping a few senior players around because they're useful, I don't know whether that works in the Premier League. I think when the drop-off happens, it can be quite quite damning. But look, from what he was saying there about how happy he is with Casemiro and Maguire, I wouldn't rule it out ridiculously that we might attempt to extend Casemiro's contract by another year, which will cost us a minimum £275,000. And if we get in the Champions League, £350,000 a week. So, yeah, I think it doesn't surprise me. But look, there are elements of naivety to Amorim. I've always said this. He has to be given the ability to learn, and then we have to then give him the benefit of the doubt when whether he learns from those sort of things. He might get proven right. You know, keeping Casemiro and Maguire for another year might be the best thing we've ever done. I don't think it is, but look, we'll have to wait and see. But Casemiro is definitely part of his long-term plan at the moment, and maybe even longer than this season. He also spoke about Cunha and Mbeumo, which I really did like. So this was very, very interesting what he said about Cunha and Mbeumo, because I think there are two big reasons I think there are very, when we look at this game tomorrow, I think there are two big reasons why Manchester United are different to that Manchester United side that played Spurs in the Europa League final. And look, this is a half 12 game tomorrow, so look, get ready for it. But he basically said this. I think the two big reasons we've got to be hopeful tomorrow are Cunha and Mbeumo. I think the goalkeeper makes a difference. You know, Onana messed up on that goal that we conceded. But I think Cunha and Mbeumo are huge players in the sense of, we didn't have them last season. I think every single game that we have them starting for Manchester makes us very, very different. And obviously we do have, as I say, Lemens and we've got Sesko. But this is what Amorim had to say. He said, look, in relation to Cunha, he's a maverick. He has an aura that can do something to the opponent's head. Completely agree. I think when you look at these two players, they're massively empowering for us. They give more confidence to the team. They give more confidence to the fan base. They make us better. But I think they are very, very different players. And that's why spending £130 million on them combined was, you know, looked at as a very, very big statement. And we won't understand the full justification of that for maybe a year or two. But I think in the first two or three months, we can see the change. And I think Amorim's right. You know, I think with Cunha, you sort of have that spontaneity flair. You know, he is a player that can make something happen out of nothing. And he has that, you know, maverick appeal, as Amorim said. In relation to Mbeumo, he says he's more direct. And you sense that when the ball is with the defenders, he's already running. And I think, you know, I think that is fair with Mbeumo. I think Mbeumo is probably a little bit more simplified in his game in the sense that he is direct. You know, he can just get the ball and put a cross in the box. He can just get a shot up very, very quickly. And his work rate is fantastic. And I think they complement each other really well. And as we know, you know, if they can deliver 30 Premier League goals between them, then that's going to move us up the league. And I was listening to what Amrin was saying about how does it impact Manchester United? You know, is it an opportunity for Manchester United playing one game a week? And he was talking about how, well, it's a really competitive league. And if you look at the last international break, we were, you know, he was under pressure to lose his job. I mean, it was the last international break where Sir Jim Ratcliffe came out and said 3 years. It was the last international break where there was talk of a takeover from the UAE. That's the conversations that were going on in the last international break. Here we are a few weeks later and people are talking about top four. They're talking about, you know, Man United getting back in the Champions League. Positivity, positivity. But that could change again in the next 3 weeks. Like I say, if we lose tomorrow, I think we're in for a very different international break where conversations will probably be very different because we're closer to mid-table than we are the top four. But the opportunity essentially is the opportunity to take every game and win it. Now, that obviously sounds very, very strange, but going back to what he was talking about there, he's got players on his bench that apparently deserve to play, but he doesn't need because he can't find a space for them. He doesn't need to rotate because people like Casemiro. I mean, look, the benefit of this season is it's unique. And I don't think it's really been spoken about in any depth, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. But Luke Shaw, Mason Mount, Casemiro, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, would they be able to operate like Liverpool are or Arsenal are or Aston Villa are with two games a week? I think we have picked up injuries, but I think we'd have a lot more injuries if these players were having to play two games a week. So it is an opportunity, whether we want to call it out or not. It is a massive opportunity for Manchester United this season. I would never say we have to get top four. I think that's ridiculous. I think fifth place is a challenge we have to try and achieve. But it's a massive opportunity. One game a week is a really bad thing for certain players like Mainoo and Xerxes and Mazraoui who just aren't getting game time. But the flip side of that coin is there isn't really any excuse. Like if you want to drop Luke Shaw and play Martinez when he's back, you can. Luke Shaw, tough. You're not going to the World Cup. You're not going to get picked. But there are benefits to it as well. And I think it has to be an opportunity. I don't think it's acceptable for this team to finish below sixth. I really don't. I wouldn't. I nearly said fifth. I don't know what you think, but I don't think it's acceptable for this team to finish below sixth. Fifth place, I think, will get us Champions League. Sixth place will get us the Europa League. But with what we've got and the limited amount of games we've got, I think you have to take that opportunity. And, you know, I was listening to what you said about the second half against Forest. How you work hard to get 1-0 up and then you give that away. You give that 3 points away. And you've got to try and get into that mindset of, you know, you've got to learn from that. And you've got to, we were talking about this last night, you've got to learn from that and go, you're 1-0 up. You've got yourself in a position to get three big points and get yourself into the top four. And you end up scraping a draw. That's a missed opportunity. That's something that for the next week, you've got to all talk about and go, what went wrong in that dressing room collectively? Everybody, what went wrong in that dressing room for us to allow that to happen? Because it's not acceptable. And those are the things that are going to hold us back. It's this, that's not a fitness thing. We can't be, what I'm saying is we can't be tired in the second half against, I mean, it needs more scrutiny. Like, and Amrin no doubt will have scrutinized it, but you can't be tired in the second half against Forest. You haven't played for a week. You've only played 45 minutes. The tempo of that game wasn't that high either. It really wasn't a high intensity game. So you can't blame fatigue for why you gave up a 1-0 lead. It can only be collective leadership, mentality, whatever. And remember, Amrin didn't make subs. Amrin didn't make subs in that game. Not, well, he did, but not significant subs. You know, there were Zesco, Bruno, Ahmad, Cunha and Mbeumo stayed on. I can't remember what subs he made in that game. Actually, tell me. So, you know, we've got to take the learning from that without a shadow of a doubt, 100%. There was a couple of other things I want to talk about Sesko as well. What you said about Sesko, but a couple of things. He was also asked about what he's learned about himself in the past year. He said, I understand that in the bad moments, my convictions are the same. I can deal with pressure. I can maintain my way of thinking under pressure. I didn't know that as a manager in the past. I know that we will have bad moments again, and I will be prepared for that. This is apparently an interview with Men in Blazers. He's done a lot. Aaron's done a lot of bloody interviews. Like, there's so many quotes out this morning. I've got one about Sesko to talk about, and I just don't know what he did yesterday, but BN Sports, press conference, Men in Blazers, you know, there's just so many quotes from Amrim coming around. But look, he basically is admitting that he didn't understand that in the bad moments, my feelings are the same and I can deal with that pressure. I can maintain my way of thinking under pressure. I didn't know that as a manager in the past. Look, I would suspect mostly he hadn't been through that amount of pressure in the past that you get at Manchester United, that level of scrutiny. And I think what he's saying is, I've shown that I can survive in those moments, which is interesting because that leads on to what he had to say about Sesko. He was asked about Sesko. And there's an article around this as well, basically saying that I'm really relaxed around Sesko. But he spoke about how Sesko basically went on to say that Sesko is, living the. We already know that Sesko is like really focused, really driven. And what Amrim basically said is that, you know, he is struggling. You know, he is struggling. He can't perform every week at Manchester United. And he, you know, he's realizing that. And you hear the external questions from legends and fans and everything. And, you know, he wants to be in control, but he can't be in control. You can't control Manchester United. Maybe when you're at Leipzig, you can get in control of the situation. It's less intense, but you can't control this. And he needs to realize that he is going to struggle because that's natural. You know, if you don't score or you have a bad game at Man United, you will get criticized. You can't control that conversation. So effectively what Amrim's saying about Sesko is that he's got to, he's got to accept and learn what being a Man United player is. And he's a very driven player, as we know. But at Manchester United, it's a rarity that you can play well every single week. Ronaldo at Man United got criticised and he's one of the greatest players we've ever had. Rooney, Beckham, you know, that's just the way it is. It comes with the territory and Sesko is very young. So Amrim basically saying, look, have total confidence in him. Also acknowledge that we've got to learn better how to utilise his skills, which we've spoken about, crosses into the box. But Amrim says this a lot. He said, look, there will be struggles. You are going to struggle. I'm going to struggle. The team's going to struggle. Players are going to struggle. It's how you deal with that. You are going to get criticised. And it goes on to say in the article about Neville, about Gary Neville's criticism of Sesko. And Amrim basically goes along and goes, well, he has been struggling. You know, you've got to learn to deal with opinion. It wasn't abusive or anything like that. It's an opinion. And he has been struggling a little bit. So you've got to accept that that's going to happen. And I still do think that, you know, Ruben Amorim's probably the best coach we've had recently at dealing with this sort of thing. Solskjaer used to do it a little bit differently and sort of try and, protect his players and, you know, siege mentality, which can work. But I think Amorim's more of an opinion that we need to embrace the fact that we're Manchester United. We need to embrace the fact that we're always going to get spoken about and we can't protect you from it. So, you know, maybe he could come out and say, it's disgusting what Neville said as an ex-player, criticising a young player. How would he have dealt with it? He could also say, well, look, you know, Sesko's doing really, really well. But he doesn't. He goes, look, I'm really happy with him. I'm confident with him. I think he's going to be a really good player for us. But, you know, he will struggle because he's a Man United player. You're always going to get scrutinised. That's what it's all about. And that's exactly what I said about the Neville stuff at the start of the week. And a lot of you, I know, disagreed. That's what it's all about. And some people overreacted about it. But I said, look, the quote I saw from Neville wasn't abusive, wasn't toxic. It was basically the truth out. and we need to see more from him. And well, Neville doesn't rate Sesko. Maybe he preferred we'd gone for somebody else. Maybe he does rate him and he just thinks we need more from him. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with that. We get overprotective about our players sometimes, but listen to the manager. What is he saying? I think he needs more from a lot more. You know, he is probably very pissed off about the second half against Forest last week. I think Amrin, in his interview yesterday, came across more relaxed than he probably is inside, because you'd be fuming. You know, you would be fuming. Some of you were fuming. Some of you were like, it's a good point on the road. But the reality is, it's only a good point on the road in the circumstances. And what were the circumstances? Well, 1-0 up at half time. We absolutely bottled it in the second half. And then Ahmad produced a worldie. Those circumstances are, it's a good point, but what the bloody hell happened in the second half? So, and it's a massive game tomorrow as well. And look, if you haven't watched the preview, check it out, because I'm not convinced yet that he may leave Sesko out. He obviously really, really likes Mason Mount, and he may leave him out. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Wow, that was a hot touch of tea. Let me have a look at some of the stuff you're saying this morning. We have got Ben Jacobs on the show tonight, this afternoon as well. That was meant to happen yesterday, but Amrin's press conference was brought forward. So that's why we are with that. Do you think we'll get revenge on Spurs, Mark? I think the day you're saying, do you think we'll get revenge on Spurs, is the day we hit the lowest point we've ever had. I mean, revenge on Spurs just doesn't work. Like, we're not looking for revenge against Spurs. Revenge against Spurs implies that we are somehow rivals of Spurs. And look, there might be people out there that consider it that way, and we are very close to them in the league. But we went to Anfield and won a couple of weeks ago. I don't look at this game as revenge. Last season, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I don't judge Amrin on last season. For me, your win ratios, I mean, look, I saw somebody going on about his win ratio's gone down again now because he drew to Forest. And I'm like, I don't actually care, because so much of that is based on last season. And what did we say a couple of minutes ago? Like, Cunha and Mbeumo make this team different. Having a goalkeeper makes this team different. So why are we so focused on last season, which was an absolute joke? I just don't think conversations about that Europa League final or last season, or, you know, the damage the losses did to Amrin's win ratio. It's almost like, I don't want to get religious, but, you know, like, it's the year is 2025, Anno Domini, and there's like 100 BC before Christ. I think there is BA, and I'm not talking about British Airways. There's before, well, you wouldn't call it before Amrin, because obviously Amrin is, you know, was here last season. But I do think that there is something to be said in relation to how we approached that game, that last season, and how we approach it now. So I don't see Spurs as revenge, no. And I don't feel like we're having any revenge with anybody, to be honest with you. I think it's an opportunity. And I think, I don't want to go over old ground from the preview, because it's well worth a watch. But as we get close, I mean, 12:30 tomorrow, it sets the weekend up, doesn't it? Although I think the weekend starts tonight on Bundesliga, because I'm biased. On That's Football, make sure you check it out. But look, if we lose tomorrow, Spurs fans will have every right to banter us. Of course they will. Andy Atherton says, it's interesting to see Kone, Lacey and Leon training with the first team when you consider Mainoo, Xerxes want loans and we're struggling at left back. Coincidence? Well, did I say this to you, or did I say this in a chat group? I think I said it, didn't I? I would not be surprised by March if Kone has surpassed Mainoo. Now, whether that's because Mainoo's gone on loan or whether Mainoo stayed, I just feel with Kone, there is this opportunity. And he's not that dissimilar in age to Mainoo, is he? I mean, what, a couple of years? I don't think Amrin rates Mainoo. I don't. And I think tactically, if we let Mainoo go, there is a PR exercise here for the club to manage. I said this last night, you know, maybe maybe in this conspiracy theory, Amrim's already let the club know, I don't want Mainoo. And the club have gone, hold on a minute. Getting rid of Garnacho is a piece of piss because he's walking around in a Villa shirt. Getting rid of Rashford's easy because he's had loads of chances. Getting rid of Mainoo at 20, who's come through the youth setup, that's going to bite you on the arse big time. The media, the fans, we need to manage this really, really carefully. So we can't just let that happen. If we're going to let it happen, there's got to be something to counteract it. Well, Kone coming through would counteract it. I mean, let's be honest. If Mainoo left on loan in January and Kone was getting first team football in January, there would be a little bit of kickback, but a lot of people would just be excited about Kone. And I just have a theory, much the same I have a theory Bruno's off to Saudi before the end of June, I have a theory that Kone might surpass Mainoo this season. We'll have to wait and see. So it's a good point, Andy. With regards to Lacey, we've spoken about him before. I mean, he can start to get a little bit of bench time. Leon, I don't know with Leon. I feel like Leon has been training with the first team anyway because he's meant to be training with the first team. He was brought in to train with the first team. I wasn't aware that he'd not stopped training with the first team. So I think Leon, when he came in the summer, was always for the first team to train with. Whether he's close to the first team, I haven't heard anything. I mean, at the moment, you know, he'd have to go ahead of Dorgu, who can't even start. So look, I'd say Leon, probably for the future. Naveen says, with Mainoo, I feel we all need to think what it is that Bruno and Casemiro do that Mainoo doesn't, and that could give us the answer. Well, I think it's a very intelligent point, Naveen. What is it that Bruno and Casemiro have that Mainoo doesn't have? Amrim's trust. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is because I don't want to go back to last season, and I'm going to contradict myself now. When I go back to last season, he wasn't picking him then either. From day one, Amrim's never really took to Mainoo. Never. I was looking at it a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at all the teams he picked and every single game, and it was a depressing thing going through last season. But the pattern was there, and it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. He's always preferred Ugarte, Bruno, Casemiro over Mainoo throughout his whole time here. I don't know what goes on. You know, I don't know Mainoo, but everything I ever hear about Mainoo is that he's grounded, he's a good lad, he's a hard worker, he's focused on his football. So it can't be those things. It might be speed. It might be not the streamer. It might be the lack of speed that some people perceive. It might be that he doesn't feel that he suits his system. You know, if Marcus Rashford doesn't suit Amrim's system because he's an attacking winger, he doesn't suit Amrim's system. If Amrim perceives that Mainoo is not a midfield pivot and he's not mobile enough to be a 10, then he doesn't suit the system. So maybe he looks at it and goes, you don't suit my system, so I've got to work on you to make you suit my system. And maybe he feels he's got to mould the player. I don't know. But I personally think you could drop Mainoo into that. Well, just go back in time 2 years ago when he was playing in a midfield three. I still think he can. I don't think there's anything. I don't think like Mainoo's broken his leg and can't do the things he was doing 2 years ago. I think it might be systematic. BO before Inanna, says Julian Lee. Get the links, Africa. That's what I think. Billy Ocean, BO Basher. Does BO still exist? I bet it does. Let's not try that one out. It's bad body odor. I wonder if BO stands for body. Of course it does. God, every day's a school day. I just realized what BO stands for. Body odor, isn't it? BO Basher, we used to call him at school. Not me. That would be, well, you were allowed to do it in the 90s. My brain sort of works like that, though. I have quite a creative brain, but sometimes I miss the open goal. Like I've only just realized what BO stands for. Body odor. Obvious when you think about it. And then again, I probably never really had to think about what it means. Let me go back. I've got some good comments coming in here. People only talk about Mainoo because he's British. Meanwhile, no one's talking about Ugarte. Bruno and Casemiro doing great. No, neither is Mainoo, says David. Yeah, I mean, look, I like the comment, David. I think it will definitely generate a minute or two of conversation. we do talk about Mania because he's British. I accept that. More relevance, more relevant that than that. We talk about Mainu because he is from the youth. And we talk about Mainu because 2 years ago, he was one of the best midfielders in the Premier League, which is why he went to the Euros. Not one of the best players in the Premier League, one of the most exciting young players in the Premier League. And that's why he went to the Euros. Obviously, being British will give him more focus because he was playing for England. So yes, you're right about that. No one's talking about Ugarte because Ugarte costs £60 million and is in his mid-20s. So Ugarte is not a 20-year-old prospect. He's a player that was brought in to deliver today, and he isn't. So Ugarte is very, very different in that sense. Are Bruno and Casemiro doing great? No, but neither is Mainu. But Bruno and Casemiro, even when they play badly, still play next week. And I am a firm believer of this, and I'm not going to bore you about it, but I firmly believe that Mainu needs to be given two or three games starting. He needs to be given that confidence, and he's not getting it. So he has to perform every, you know, in 20 minutes, every couple of weeks. So, and he ain't stupid, is he? I know it. You know it. Bruno and Casemiro can have a bad half an hour and they'll still play next week. Naveen says, with Mainu, I feel we all need to think. I've done that one. Good question. Kai says, Mainu needs the Elliot Anderson treatment. Send him on loan to a weaker team where creative and defensive responsibility lies on him every week. Yes. Yes. I think this is a great point as well, because it leads into what we're about to do in the summer transfer window, or the January transfer window. The exceptionally impressive things about Stiller, Anderson, Belaba when he performs well, and Wharton, is that they do it in very competitive leagues where they are not the best team. Now, with all due respect, if you are playing for Bayern Munich in the midfield and you're 20, yes, you're talented, but you're also surrounded by the best players in Europe. If you are Elliot Anderson playing well for Manchester City, yes, it's great. And you're going to get a lot of hype, but you are also surrounded by some of the best players in Europe. When you're doing it for Nottingham Forest, you're not. When you're doing it for Crystal Palace, you're not. When you're doing it for Brighton, you're not. And when you're doing it for Stuttgart, you're not. So, exactly. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that Mainu actually craves, is the opportunity to go and prove himself. Because I do not think he's happy to just sit there waiting at Manchester United. But this is why Cunha and Mbeumo are such good signings, because the goals and assists they were getting last season were very impressive, no matter who you are. But when you put it into a relegation team like Wolves, and when you put it into a team like Brentford, it becomes even more impressive, because you're doing it at a club where you don't have Mo Salah on the wing, you know, where you don't have Alexi McAllister and Caicedo in the midfield. You know, it's difficult. The players around you are not actually at the highest level. I mean, look at Wolves. Look at Wolves. Like, Wolves are going to get relegated. What's the difference between Wolves this season and last season? Well, look, there are other players that left. Alt-Nouri left. But I think the big difference is not having Cunha. Wolves are the worst team in the Premier League. They've got 2 points from 10 games, which is absolutely abysmal. And it just highlights again just how good Cunha was for them, and what an amazing job he was doing in a team that was really a relegation team. So, yes, this is the impressive thing about some of the players that we're actually looking at. This is the impressive thing about the likes of Anderson, etc. Thank you, Andy Atherton. Bad Amrim comment on Mainu. Either say the reason or comment at all. Just leave space of the fans and press to speculate, says Arid. Yeah, so if you're tuning in a little bit late, basically what Amrim has said is that, you know, looking at Mainu in training, he's doing really, really well and he deserves to play. But there's no space for him. And that's a positive because, you know, we're only playing one game a week and there are advantages to that. But I don't think that helps Mainu. I don't. And I personally, as I say, I've seen Casemiro and Bruno have bad games. I thought last week, in the last half an hour, they both weren't playing very well. And he still didn't bring Mainu or Ugarte on. So I don't believe that he actually really trusts Mainu or Ugarte, and that's why he doesn't use them, regardless of whether they're training well. Malik says, Casemiro isn't going to be here next year, so why not play Cobby and get him adapted to the system ASAP, because losing him is going to be another regret. Well, I think this is another, I mean, some really good comments coming in this morning. I mean, Malik, I agree with you. I don't want to get into the arguments I got into last night, but I'm telling you now, if I'm managing a team, or, you know, whether it's a football team or a restaurant or whatever, and I've got somebody that I believe is talented and is going to be really, really good, I don't just say take the night off. I don't just say sit on the bench till next year. It's just not how you operate. You go, okay, I've got Casemiro and Bruno. I'm really excited about him. I've just got to get him in. I've got to get him game time as much as possible. Come on for the last half an hour. Yeah, you can start this game. Yeah, you know, we're not getting that. We get the interviews, but we don't get the evidence. Like, we hear that Mainu's the successor to Bruno and Amrin really likes him and he's training really, really well. But there is no evidence of what that is. You know, you look at Conor Bradley at Liverpool, and I know he's starting games now, but for the last 18 months, even when Trent was here, you'd still see lots of him. He'd be coming on for the last half an hour. He'd be starting the odd game here and there. And yeah, all right, we're not in the Carabao Cup and we're not in Europe, but there's still opportunities. There are still opportunities to show that Mainu is important. How can you say he's for next season and then basically sit him on the bench for most of it? You know, there is no development. I personally don't think he is for next season. I don't think Amrin is behaving like in next season because he doesn't use him. I think the plan is a different one. I really want to be wrong on this, but sometimes you've got to look at it and go, I don't see any evidence that he rates it. I mean, look, how great would it be tomorrow to see the team news and see Mainu starting in the midfield? You know, maybe there's a hint there that he's trained really well this week. I would love to, but I don't think any of us think it'll happen. Casemiro hasn't had a bad game. Mainu should come on for Bruno. It's simply read. We've done that one, and Casemiro has had bad games, as we said. I think if we can get Anderson from Forest, he'd pair really well with Mainu in the midfield, to Sal. I mean, I have hope. I do have hope that might happen. But I don't think from my situation here, and I don't know what your thoughts are, I personally don't think that. And it's a relevant conversation to have at this stage of the morning show, but I don't think that next season, Bruno, Casemiro, Mainu go. I can't see Man United authorising the removal of three midfielders. I just don't see it. So we can twist and turn about the combinations about what could happen, but I don't see Bruno going to Saudi, Casemiro leaving on a free, and Mainu being let go either. So I can't. And Ugarte's not pulling a tree. So, you know, Ugarte and three new signings. I can't see that. I just can't see it. And I can't see Ugarte being happy either. I think he could be knocking on the door. I mean, you're right about Ugarte. Why would Ugarte not be knocking on the door at the moment? It's a World Cup year and he's not even bloody playing. So why would he not be knocking on the door about a loan deal as well? So I don't see Casemiro, Bruno, Mainu going in the next summer transfer window. I think maybe three. No. So then you go, well, who won't go? Because you'd think Bruno Saudi, lots of money. I think there's a big chance Bruno won't go if we get European football. So maybe it'll be Mainu and Casemiro, and Bruno stays with Ugarte and two new midfielders. At the moment, that's the one I think's most likely. I think Bruno will stay another year or two because we get European football, and Casemiro and Mainu will stay. Will go. On the other hand, if we don't get European football, I think Bruno will go. Casemiro might stay because he's a little bit cheaper. And Mainu might go. Third hand, we don't get Europe. Casemiro fancies a bigger payday. Bruno won't stay. And Mainu stays. So I think Jack Cassidy says Bruno isn't leaving. It's way too early. I mean, look, Bruno is basically saying, if you don't get Europe, I'm off. And if you do get Europe, I'm going to stay. I don't like that, but I think that's Bruno's position. I think from his interview a couple of weeks ago about wanting to play the World Cup and then make his mind up. So I think if we don't get European football, Bruno will go. If we do, I think he will stay. Casemiro, I think, will look at what the pay options are and, you know, he'll make a decision based on that. So And then you have to say, well, even if Mainoo stays, where's the evidence that Amrim rates him? So you sort of go back to that, don't you? Amrim is under pressure to win games. He obviously seems to trust Bruno and Casemiro to do that for him. It's unfair on Mainoo for Garte, but he probably sees them as a risk. Yes, and I think this is exactly spot on. The voice of reason, Patrick Lynch. No, I think you're absolutely spot on, Patrick, because what was the game? Was it Chelsea, where we saw Yoro out of the team and Maguire in the team? I think since the last international break and before it, he's doubled down on trying to get as many experienced players on the pitch as he can. And look, let's play devil's advocate, right? Tomorrow, Casemiro pulls his hamstring in the warm-up. Mainoo comes into the team, or Ugarte comes into the team. We lose and they play really badly, and everyone's sat there going, that's why he's been picking Casemiro. And that might happen. I'm not saying, I'm certainly not all those head in the clouds fans going, oh, no, we'd be fine. Like, this is why when we do the preview, I never go, it should be Ugarte and Mainoo in the midfield. I don't. I did at the start of the season, but I don't anymore, because I actually do think that Casemiro and Bruno are his midfield too, and we have won some games with them there. So he's got every right to pick that. And maybe that's why he does it, because he's like, Ugarte and Mainoo are too much like hard work. They may end up being good players, but I can't lose the game on the journey to them becoming good players, which goes back to what I was saying before. I think if you gave Mainoo 3 or 4 starts, he would get better and become the midfield we need. But in the first 2 games, we might lose. And then he's under pressure again. And that sort of goes into what people are talking about the lack of youth. Because how can he pick youth when he can't afford to lose? If he can't pick Mainoo and Ugarte and play them into form because he might lose games playing them in... Look, essentially, I put Mainoo in the midfield and I drop Casemiro. I lose to Spurs, I draw to Everton, but then I beat Palace and I win the next 3. So I lose to Spurs, I draw to Everton, and then I go and win 4 games in a row because Mainoo settled. So Spurs and Everton, he's just getting used to it. And then by the 3rd game, we're up and running, we're playing really well. The problem is, if he loses to Spurs and draws to Everton, everyone's screaming Amrim out and the pressure's on the team again. So it explains itself, Patrick, very, very well. He's chasing results. He cannot. I agree with that. I don't think if you put Mainoo in the team tomorrow, he would have a worldie. I think he would do okay. And in the next game, he would do better. And in the 3rd game, he'd do better than that. And by the 3rd or 4th game, we'd have the proper Mainoo back. But it's a great point. I don't think Amrim can risk that. He'd rather go with Casemiro's going to give me a steady 6 or 7. Bruno's going to give me a steady 6 or 7. Go with Mainoo. I might roll an 8, but I might roll a 4. And if I roll a 4, you know, I'm under huge pressure again. There isn't any... I don't think Amrim would say this in an interview. What he will say is, in a different... And Amrim's very good at this. So when Amrim says, I can't pick Mainoo because even though he's training really well, Casemiro and Bruno are doing really well, I haven't got a space for him. What he also might mean by that is, Casemiro and Bruno, I know what I'm getting. Mainoo needs time, and he might be better than them, but he needs time to adjust. I haven't got the time. I haven't got the time to develop him. I haven't got the time to get him up to form. I'd rather go with Casemiro and Bruno, who do what they say. They're on seal. They do exactly what they say on the tin. Whereas a Mainoo, you know, it's a little bit like being in a bar, isn't it? Right? You're in a bar, you're having a drink, you're single looking to mingle, and across the bar, a decent looking person smiles at you, and you think, are they looking at someone else? And you look back, they're still looking at you. And you think, oh, they're pretty decent. I think I'll go on over and talk to them. And as you're just about to do it, you look to the other area of the bar and there's an absolute stunner. And you go, that's too much like hard work. I'll go and talk to them. And we've all done it in various ways in life. We've all taken the path that's the least resistance, even though the path that's harder will lead to better rewards. And I think at the moment, Mainoo is a path to bigger rewards that Amrim can't afford to take because he's got to take the quick route. But at some point, that's got to change, because the long-term plan cannot be Mainoo, cannot be Bruno and Casemiro. But maybe he'll bypass that plan. Maybe he'll go, I don't actually have the time at Mainoo, so let's move him on. Let's bring Anderson and somebody else in. We'll have to wait and see. I think I might have said we lost to Forest. We didn't lose to Forest, of course. We drew. Bruno and Casemiro have a certain class that can't be taught, says Kai. Kobe is a reactive player. He needs to be proactive. Amrim is, I've done that one as well. There we go. Okay, lovely show this morning. Really appreciated that. Don't forget, we've got Ben Foster on the show at 2 o'clock. So normally on a Thursday, we'll be able to ask all about Mainoo and incomings, midfielders, sale talk, all that is on at 2 o'clock with Beth and Ben. I don't know what's happening with the 8 o'clock show tonight because Terry's away and I'm on That's Football with Bundesliga stuff. So watch the space with that. Might do something at six or something like that. But yeah, Bundesliga tonight live on That's Football, of course. And well, look, blink and you'll miss it. We're going to be live at like 10:30 tomorrow for countdown to kickoff. Very early game tomorrow, 12:30. So excited. Thanks everyone for tuning in as always. Please do smash a like on the video. And if you want a bit more Premier League preview stuff, win, lose or draw with me and Robbie going through all the Premier League games of the weekend is up on That's Football now as well. Have a great day, everyone. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.